It's that time again. It's the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee, episode 133. And today we are going to talk about the play-in tournament. The NBA season is officially over. We are right in between the end of the season and the start of the play-in tournament. And we'll also get into the announcement of Team USA and what that means going forward. All right, so the play-in tournament is going to start on Tuesday. Season comes to an end. Just want to run through the teams real quick. So over in the East, we got the Sixers and Heat in that first play-in game, 7-8 there. Sixers 7, Heat 8. Then in the lower tier game, you got the Bulls at 9, Hawks at 10. So then the winner of the 9-10 obviously will go on to play the loser of 7-8. There we go. And then the winner of that game obviously gets the 8 seed. The winner of the Sixers Heat, they get the 7 seed and possibly a treat in playing. Well, actually, no. The Bucks finished at 3, so they would get the Knicks. I know teams were in the East were probably, especially the, mainly the Sixers and Heat, were probably hoping to get the Bucks in the first round if the Bucks finished in second. But Bucks, this Bucks team, man, I tell you, it's just amazing. They went out, they get Damian Lillard, and that was supposed to be the answer for them to get back to where they were a couple of years ago and winning the NBA Finals. And yeah, they won 49 games, but they haven't really felt like a 50 win team all year. Obviously they didn't win 50, but I mean 49, you're right there, but they haven't felt like that type of team most of the year, even with Doc Rivers coming in, hovered around 500 the rest of the year once he came in. It's a debacle what's going on there. We know Dame never really wanted to go there. He wanted to go to Miami. We'll see what happens this offseason. So let's jump over to the West real quick. In the Western Conference, that opening game is going to be Pelicans, Lakers, 7-8. So Pelicans 7, Lakers 8. Then Kings, Warriors, that Northern California rivalry that I'm very familiar with. Kings 9, Warriors 10. So obviously the higher seed in all of these is the home team. In the West, it's a tough one. The West is a tough one because part of me wants to go with the Lakers in that first game because of the experience, but they've also got injuries, and Brandon Ingram is just coming back for the Pelicans, should be available Tuesday to play. So it's a tough one to me. It's a tough one. We know what LeBron does in these games where it's pretty much do or die now. Obviously the loser of the 7-8 game, they get another shot, right? They get another shot to make the playoffs. But you got to think that the Lakers would love to play an inexperienced as far as being expected to do something now, I guess. The number one seed Thunder, you got to think the Lakers would want to get them in the first round instead of the Nuggets. I'm looking at this all wrong. So the Lakers, the winner of this game would get the Nuggets. So that's probably not who the Lakers want to get. Lakers do not want to get the Nuggets. Pelicans may think they have a good shot, but I would not want to take on the Nuggets in the first round, pretty much no matter who it is. I would not. Then I'm looking at the Kings Warriors. Whoever wins that faces the loser of the Pelicans Lakers. And I don't know if the Warriors, it's hard to count the Warriors out because I'm probably taking the Warriors in this game against the Kings. But if they go ahead and let's say they get the 8 seed, I don't know if I'm taking them against it's tough. It's tough again. Like I said, the West is just so tough. The West is tough. Thunder won 57 games this year along with the Nuggets. But because of tiebreakers, the Thunder get the number one seed. I've talked about this before, the fact that young teams in the NBA, it's rare when they make deep runs like to the finals and win it all. And even just getting there. I mean, we saw the Thunder years ago with Durant, Harden, Westbrook. That team was able to get to the finals, but obviously they lost to the Heat, the Heatles. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, all those guys. They ended up losing to that team, and it wasn't really close. You can see where that experience, those few extra years of experience that the Heat had by that time, just with those individual players, it came shining through. I mean, it was a gentleman's sweep, 4-1. So I think the Nuggets get out of the, I'm sorry, I think the Thunder get out of the first round because they're the one team in the West playing that I give a shot at beating the Thunder in the first round or the best shot. I'm going to go with the Lakers because of that experience and because of Anthony Davis, because we know what LeBron's going to bring. If Anthony Davis is dominant like he can be or should be, I think they got a shot. You know, I'm not a big, you know, regular season's one thing, but the playoffs are different. I'm sorry. The playoffs are just different. And when you haven't really been there as a young team, I know Shea is great. Chet is great. Like, they got a nice young nucleus there. Ton of draft picks. Pretty much all homegrown guys they got in OKC. And it's paying off. Tied for the second best record in the league this year, along with the Nuggets. Get the number one seed, 57 wins. But now, I would not be surprised if they make it to the conference finals. I would not. Because here's the thing. If they get past the first round, which they probably should, let's just be honest. They should get past the first round, but I give the Lakers a shot at knocking them off. They get past the first round, the Thunder. They get the winner of Mavericks Clippers, and I'm not going to go deep into this right now, but I talked about this earlier in the year. I'm no longer giving the Clippers the benefit of the doubt. I'm not. I was big on them for 3 years, the first 3 years of the whole Kawhi PG tandem, Paul George tandem, and Kawhi tandem, but they failed too many times. The 1 year they had a shot to really get to the finals, Kawhi gets hurt. They still got to the conference finals. They still got there. They upset the Jazz in the second round, got to the conference finals. And they were able to make it a series, actually, without Kawhi Leonard there. But they've had too many failures in the postseason, too many injuries, just coming up short too many times. And they're playing the Mavericks, and we know what Luka Doncic does. Now, he cooks everybody, but when he plays the Clippers, he really cooks. And it probably goes back to a few years ago in that series where, you know, it got pretty chippy with himself and the Clippers. And he just cooked them. He roasted them. And even since then, anytime he plays them, it doesn't matter, regular season, whatever, he cooks them. But it feels like Luka takes extra joy in cooking the Clippers. It really does. And it don't matter who's guarding him. Now, Kawhi and PG are older. They're not the defenders they once were, but they can still, when they need to, get in there and get stops. With Luka, now, and Luka's a whole different, he's a different animal than most players. He just is. He's a different type of beast. Luka is a different beast altogether. When he is out there cooking, It's just something about him, because he's not the most athletic. He's not jumping through the roof. He's not the fastest, but he is one of the smartest players on the court whenever he's out there. And he's crafty. He gets to his spots. He can get to any spot on the court and get any shot he wants at any time. You can't stop Luka. I know the league's a little different now with defenders and defense, although referees have been letting them play a little more this year, not calling as many ticky-tack fouls close to the rim, which is great. I love it. but it'll never be like it once was, right? It'll never be like it was, you know, years ago, which it doesn't need to be like that. But there's just something about Luka. It's like you just can't. He stops. If he's stopped, he's stopping himself. He's having a bad shooting night or, you know, something along those lines. It's not because the other team just threw an all out blitz at him defensively and he didn't know what to do, because he can also pass. He can rebound. I mean, 6'7", 6'8". He can do a lot. Now, the one thing he doesn't do, he's not a defender. Like, Luka is just not, it's not his thing. That was one of the worries I had about teaming up him and Kyrie Irving in the backcourt. It's like, so somebody's got to play defense at some point. But we know in the NBA, especially today, it's not about shutting down teams for 48 minutes, because you're never going to do that. Teams are scoring 100 points pretty much every night. Like, we don't have games anymore where consistently you're beating, you know, teams are only scoring 85 points and giving up 95 and a loss. No. Teams are scoring 120, 130, 140, right? Even if you lose, you probably scored 110, 115 in a loss. So those days are long gone. Those days of actually shutting teams down, or even shutting individual players down, those days are gone. They are long gone. And Luka is just one of those players where you're just not going to stop him. You have to figure out something else. You have to make sure everyone else doesn't eat. But when you got a guy like Kyrie Irving, who can also get to any spot on the court pretty much and create his own, but also, when he wants to, he can get others involved, but can also play off the ball. He doesn't have to have the ball all the time. Now, we know traditionally throughout Kyrie's career, for the most part, now with LeBron had the ball a lot, but Kyrie is a guy that wants the ball in his hands. But he's a good enough shooter to where he doesn't have to have the ball. He can play off the ball, and he can play off the ball well. Now, he doesn't play off the ball in the same sense or matter as a Stephen Curry, but he can play off the ball. And he's a good enough shooter to where you don't mind him being off the ball. He didn't have, it's not like having Russell Westbrook just be off the ball. He's not a shooter. Like, it's not like that. Not anywhere close to that. But yeah. So, I mean, I think that's going to be a good series with the Mavericks and Clippers, but I'll talk about who I got in that series at a later date. But getting back to the play-in, I'm going to jump back to the East right now. If I got a pick in that first game, Sixers Heat, even though I think the Heat are dangerous, I'm going to take the Sixers in that game. The Heat, I mean, they struggled last year coming into the postseason playing. They lost the first play-in game last year. And I'm not saying they're going to make another run to the finals, but honestly, I think if the Heat, in their heart of hearts, I don't think they fear Boston. As good as Boston's been this year, because they've, now, Porzingis is a different animal. He's going to make things a little more difficult, most likely. Yeah, Porzingis is going to make things a little more difficult than before when you're going up against Boston in the postseason. But ultimately, we know what it comes down to with the Celtics. We really do. We know what it comes down to with the Celtics is Tatum and Brown. That's the bread and butter right there. Tatum and Brown are the bread and butter. And I believe that the Heat will have no problem. Now, I think the Heat are going to lose to the Sixers in that first play-in game. And I think they, like last year, either beat the Hawks or the Bulls. Last year, they lost to the Hawks in the first play-in game. Then they beat the Bulls. So I think it's going to be the same thing. I think it'll be the same thing this year. They're going to beat one of those teams to get that eight seed. Then you have the Sixers going on to play the Knicks. And that's a tough one, because the Sixers, if Joel Embiid doesn't go down for these last, 2.5 months that he was out, 2 months, they're either the 2 or 3 seed, in my opinion. Coupled with Maxey and all those guys, they weren't going to get the number one seed. Boston finished so far ahead of everybody, 14 games ahead of the Knicks. So, you know, the Knicks finished second. They finished 14 games ahead. So they had this thing wrapped up well in, you know, in late February, early March, did the really essentially did the Boston Celtics. But I just feel like the Heat, they don't fear Boston. Even with Porzingis there now, I don't think they fear Boston. And then the Sixers, I think that's a tough one, the Sixers and Knicks. Because we know the Sixers with Joel Embiid, they're not really a seven seed. The 76ers are not a seven seed when healthy. We know that. Okay? We know what happened in that situation. As good as Maxey is, the way that team is formulated and constructed, they were bound to fall from grace while Joel Embiid was out. I mean, you're missing, like, what do you average, like 33, 34 points a game this year? Like, you take that away and then add, I mean, add in, you know, defensively and just everything that he brings, all the attention he takes, he garners from defenses. Everything, not just the points, the rebounds, like everything that is Joel Embiid. I mean, dude's like an 80% free throw shooter. Like, for big men, that's awesome. Most centers, seven footers, aren't shooting 80 plus percent from the free throw line. But he's done it his entire career pretty much. But you take him out for a couple of months, and now you have the Sixers as the seven seed against the Knicks. But this might be a tougher matchup for the Knicks. And Joel Embiid just came back, you know, roughly 2 weeks ago and has not looked bad in his return from that meniscus injury. He hasn't looked bad. I mean, it doesn't look like he took a couple months off and didn't play at all. Had a knee injury that he was trying to heal and recuperate from. It just hasn't looked like that. So yeah, and that matchup there with the if the Knicks end up drawing the 76ers, which I think they will, I think that's going to be a tough one for the Knicks. I really do. I think that's a tough one. Again, I'll make my picks later in the week for the playoff games. Playoffs will start over the weekend, I believe, on Saturday. So I'll get to that later. But, yeah, so from there, I think it'll end up being the Heat against either the Hawks or Bulls. I think that's a tough one, too. But for that one, you know what? I mean, even though the Bulls, I think the Bulls are the home team in that one, but I'm going to take the Hawks. I'm going to take the Hawks because then the Hawks, whoever wins that will have to go to Miami, and I'll take Miami in that one. So I think however it goes, you got Sixers and Heat getting in my opinion. Sixers, Heat. Sixers are the seven seed. Heat will be the eight seed. And again, they just seem to have, I've talked about this to no end, just it seems sometime, but they seem to have the formula to beat the Celtics. Because in close games, now, if the Celtics can blow you out, great. But in close games, and we know what this Heat team is like in the playoffs in close games of the past few years, they seem to find a way to win a lot of these games somehow. But man, with the Celtics winning 64, only 60 game winner this year. They won 64 games. And they probably could have won a little bit closer to 70. You know, there were some games they gave away. But yeah, in close games, I just don't trust the Celtics. I don't. I do not trust the Celtics in close games. Not at all. Not one little bit. Not one little bit. So, but you know, that's my prediction there for the play-in. Sixers beat the Heat, go on to face the Knicks in the 2-7 matchup. Then the Heat beat the Hawks or Bulls, doesn't matter which one, but I think they'll beat they'll face the Hawks, beat them, and then go on to face Boston in the first round. Over in the West, I'm going to take the Lakers to get the 7 seed there. So they'll be the 8 seed on the road against the Pelicans. I think they'll beat the Pelicans, take that 8 seed. I'm sorry, the 7 seed. They'll take the 7 seed and face the Nuggets, and then they'll probably be out in the first round. They're not going to beat the Nuggets. Neither one of those teams is. It really doesn't matter. Either one of those teams, Pelicans, Lakers, you get the Nuggets. Now, some people think the Lakers could tank this game against the Pelicans just to play that second playing game. We'll see. If that happens, then, of course, this throws all this off. But I think they're going to go out there and end up winning against the Pelicans. Now, maybe I'm a fool, and I don't want to believe that these guys are just going to tank so they can end up in a lower seed. But, you know, stranger things have happened. We've seen these types of things before. But if I just got to go off, if it's going straight up and we're going to play and try to win, I got Lakers over the Pelicans. They move on 7th seed against the Nuggets. Then I got the Warriors over the Kings on the road in Sacramento and then face the Pelicans. Ooh, I'll take the Warriors. Warriors get the 8th seed. And then they'll take on the Thunder. And then, you know, we go from there. I would give the Warriors a chance to make it a good series. But somebody other than... Now, the Warriors have played a lot better this, you know, last couple months of the season. So, you know, anything can happen. But it can't just be a case where... It can't just be one of these series where it's pretty much all Steph Curry and nobody else. He's got to have help. A couple other guys got to come along for the ride. You know, these first, I believe Gary Payton II has been ruled out for the play-in. So that, at least the first play-in game, that's going to hurt them because, you know, he's one of the probably top two defenders on the team. Couple that with the energy he brings to the floor when he's on the floor, you're missing a big component there of, you know, what works for them when they are successful the past couple years. Yeah, he left and had a cup of coffee in Portland, but obviously he's back in Golden State now. So, so got the Lakers in the first playing game. Then I got the Warriors. So Lakers 7th seed, Warriors 8th seed, and probably both out in the first round. I'm just going to be honest. I mean, again, I give the Warriors a shot against the Thunder, but I think it would be a series that they would probably have to win in 7. The Warriors would probably have to win that series in 7, you know. So now let's move on from the play-in to Team USA. It was announced on Monday. There's one spot still open. There were 11 participants announced, and those are as such: Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis. So, there it is. That is for the Summer Olympics 2024. Team USA. Now, this will probably be the last one for Steph Curry. Might be as far as Olympics go. I mean, I don't... At 34, 35, he might be playing in 4 more years, but I don't know if he'll be wanting to play in this. LeBron, who's, 39, be 43 at the next one, almost 44. If he's still in the league, that's pushing it. I think this is his last one. I think this one could be the last one for Durant, too. Then you got the future. You got Jason Tatum. Joel Embiid's only 30. But, you know, with him and the injuries, you just don't know how long he's going to play in general. That's why the Sixers need to stop wasting, you know, what's left of his prime. And you got, you know, Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, really young, Anthony Edwards. Those, like, that's the future there. Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards. That's the future of Team USA basketball. You got Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis. Still fairly young, but been in the league like 12 years now. So, yeah, you don't know how many. He might play another time, but just not really sure how many times he's going to, many more times he's going to play either. So that's Team USA right there. We know in more recent times, whether it's the national games or the Olympics, you know, it's not as much of a cakewalk as it once was for the Team USA Olympic team. It's just not. The world is caught up. Look at the last five MVPs. You really don't need to go any further. Now, I know that's only a few players, but Joel Embiid last year, possibly going to be again this year. Not Embiid, but Nikola Jokic. The 2 years prior to Embiid was Nikola Jokic. And the 2 years prior to Jokic winning back-to-back was Giannis Antetokounmpo winning back-to-back. So you got the last five MVPs and probably going to be a sixth this year. And even if it's not Nikola Jokic, it's probably going to be Luka Doncic. Now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they ended with the number one seed. He's going to get votes. But I think based on what Luka and Nikola have done, I think either to me, it's out of them. And then for most of the second half of the year, Shai has been somewhere around third in the ranking with Tatum somewhere around fourth or fifth. So, and Shai, I believe he's Canadian. So he's not even, you know, an American player, American born, North American, but not from the United States originally. So, yeah, the world has caught up in basketball. But that was the idea of the original Dream Team back in 92 and the global expansion that was put into motion by former Commissioner David Stern was to make the game more global. So we've got that now. We've got that. And it's almost worked too well, really. I mean, you got guys talking about, you know, like Gilbert Arenas talking about, you know, to get rid of the I guess he said the European players. I think that's what he said. Something like that. It was something wild. He always saying something wild. But I don't mind the flavor that they, you know, I guess. Not flavor. What's the word I'm looking for? The variety they bring to the game. Now, the game is much different now. It is. And it's more conducive to a lot of the, especially the European players or players that played, you know, European professional ball before coming over here to the States. The way the game is now is more like the international game. It's just more conducive to what they've grown up doing. It really is. The game is still physical here, but it's not as physical as it was 30 years ago in the 90s, especially, and really not even 20 years ago in the mid 2000s. But, you know, 10 years ago, we started to have that change in how the game was played outside in as opposed to inside out. And that has played right into the hands partially of a lot of the players from around the world. It's just different now. It's just different. I don't think it makes it worse. I just think it makes it different. And, you know, being American players, you just have to adjust. Everybody's had to adjust, not just American players, to how the NBA game is played now. It's not the same as it was. And it shouldn't be. Everything evolves. Life evolves. We evolve as humans. Everything evolves. It shouldn't be staying the same if you're going to grow something, as, especially as a business. It's got to evolve. All right, that's going to do it this week for episode 133 of the Courtside Crossover. Go check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, Spotify, Podbean, and anywhere else you find podcasts. You'll catch me on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. I'm going to catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.